Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This Memorial Day holiday weekend, keep it right here to talk sports as we kick off the summer of 2020 with Boomer and Geo. Mornings 6 to 10, Moose and Maggie, middays 10 to 2, Beningo and Roberts, afternoons from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., Mike Francesa at 6, and Steve Summers and JJ After Dark at night. We also have classic Mets baseball tonight at 7 p.m., featuring the Amazons' win over the Chicago Cubs in Game 3 of the 2015 NLCS, along with an all-new pregame show at 6:30. We also remind you to think about all of the first responders out there helping to save lives, and of course, all of the military personnel and veterans who have protected and continue to protect our country. We thank you for being a part of your ship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66. And you can also find us on your smart speaker, mobile device, tablets, and computers. WFAN at WFAN FM, New York. A radio.com sports station. Stay connected. You're listening to CBS Sports Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all live, all the time.
All right, we're back. Joe Beningo with you here for the final hour here on a Saturday morning, Memorial Day weekend 2020. Richard Neer will come your way at 10 o'clock, filling in for my partner, Evan Roberts, and we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. These are obviously challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24-7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you, and CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by GEICO. GEICO has introduced the GEICO Give Back a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last year. Full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Is Michael with us here, Anthony, or no? He is not with us. All right, so I'll tell you what. While we're hopefully waiting on Michael Urban to join us, we'll continue on with our phone calls. Let's talk to Robert in Manhattan. He's with us. Robert, how are you?
Good morning, Joe. First of all, I hope that everyone in the Beningo household is safe and well, and holding fast. As we
well,
say.
That's what we're doing, and thankfully, same with yours, Robert.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right, Joe, I'm sorry I'm going to have to rain on your parade a little bit. Mm-hmm. I heard your interview with EJ. Listen, I'm as desperate for sports as anybody. I was hoping to go up to Boston for a couple of championships this year, but that's not going to happen. But let me tell you something. Only Gary Bettman and the geniuses who run the NHL would turn the wonderful Stanley Cup into a farce. Now look, how many teams are in the NHL right now? 30, 32, whatever it is?
I think it's 31, actually.
Why don't we, 30, whatever it is. Why don't we invite all 31? I mean, 24, come on, Joe. You know, one of the things that's happened in sports, and I know you're going to disagree because you love wild cards. I don't. I never have since it started. We got teams. What do we have here? We have basically saying we have dumbed sports down to the point where mediocrity is superior, where excellence is not what's the word I'm looking for?
You know what, Robert? You know what you do, Anthony? Put Robert on hold, and let's get Michael on, and we'll put Robert on again later. All right? Can we do that, Anthony? All right, let's do that. Because joining us right now, my good buddy, the great Hall of Fame wide receiver, number 88. You know, what else can you say? Three-time Super Bowl champion, and that's Michael Irvin. Michael, how are you, man?
Joe, I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. Good to talk to you now, man. I just miss talking to you, buddy.
I do.
You know, we haven't, I don't know, Joe, this has been quite a travel road here with this pandemic and everything, and them taking sports away from us, and and everything, man. But look like we're coming out on the other side of it.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope so. Not soon enough, I'll tell you. Now I hope everything's well with you and your family. I'm assuming you're in Florida, am I right? Is that where you are?
No, I'm in Dallas.
Oh, you are?
My primary property is here, my family, you know. So, listen, Joe, remember, I got 16 brothers or so.
Yeah, no,
I do not want to live in the same state.
Yeah.
You love them, you see them, you help them as much as you can, but you do not want to live in the same state. So, no, I stay here in Dallas.
Michael, I hear you. All right, let's talk about your Cowboys because there's a lot to talk about with the Cowboys. First, let's start with Dak Prescott and his contract situation. I mean, apparently Jerry offered him a big number, a big contract, and Dak didn't take it. Where we are right now with him?
Well, you know, and Jerry, they have to get this done. Yeah, and hopefully sooner than later, and hopefully they can get it done before that July 15 deadline. You know, obviously, Dak is trying to become the highest paid player in
right.
the National Football League, and I no one can be mad at Dak because that's just how the quarterback situation has worked out, Joe. You know, no matter what, whoever the star quarterback for any starting team, when it's your time up. We've always he just became one of the highest paid, regardless of Super Bowl championships or anything. He became one
right,
of the highest
right.
paid, and that's looks like where Dak Prescott is headed right now. Did you know, Joe? What, 4 or 5 years ago, 2015-16, I think the franchise number for quarterback was maybe $16-17 million. So 5 years later, mm-hmm. now it's $31 million.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So that's incredible. That's incredible and incredibly insane, and I guarantee you that Dak Prescott's sides are noticing those differences and saying, we don't want to be sitting here in 4 or 5 years with a contract that's so outdated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the crazy thing, though, about the franchise tag. I mean, we saw it with Kirk Cousins. I mean, Redskins couldn't keep franchising him. You know, it's just too much money when you're talking about a starting quarterback.
Right, and I think this is a lot different. I think it was different in this. Washington went on record saying they just think Kurt's about a middle-of-the-road quarterback and they don't want to pay him top dollar. I don't believe Dallas believes that Dak is a middle-of-the-road. I know they don't believe that Dak's a middle-of-the-road
right,
quarterback.
Right, right, he's better
you know,
than that.
He's on that upper end. He's on that different end. It's just Dallas believes that they've had have a lot of talent around him and they want to be able to keep that talent. So you understand the battle back and forth, but let me tell you what bothers me about it all. Like I can't take the narrative that Jerry's doing Dak wrong. I don't believe that, even though you know I'm with Dak on this. You definitely got to sign him. But when you're looking at what Dak's looking at, $32 million this year, $38 million next year, there is no wrong if you're going to get about $70-some million in 2 years. There's no such thing as anybody doing anybody wrong. These guys are just doing business, and hopefully that business will get done. Usually it doesn't get done, though, Joe, until the slipper falls off Cinderella.
Yeah, no, that is definitely true. Let me ask you this, though. How about the aspect right now of how it looks for a guy like Dak with the money situation when you got 36 million people out of work right now, Michael? You know what I mean? I mean, how about that aspect?
Yeah, and a lot of people, we have to talk about that because of the situation that we are in. But Joe, we also have to try to move forward, and this is what it is. I know it's the optics of it look bad. We talked about that during the draft, getting ready
right,
to do
right.
the draft, or getting ready to do free agency even more so. When everybody's saying, well, maybe we should push back the year. How are these people going to be signing these big deals with all of these people out of work and hurting and everything? And of course, you feel for them. You try to sympathize with them and everything. But we honestly, man, we have to try to get some semblance of our old life back and what we used to do and get back to what we are. And that's why I'm glad the NFL went on with free agency.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question.
Went on with the draft.
No question.
Had the people had it their way, we wouldn't have had free agency. We wouldn't have had the draft. You know what I'm saying? So I applaud Commissioner and Troy Vincent and those guys for moving forward.
Yeah, no question. We're talking to the great Michael Irvin. All right. Now, the other thing is my guy, Jamal Adams, here with my team, the Jets, and, you know, the whole thing with his contract. Now they still have control over him for the next couple of years. But I keep hearing about this, you know, and I guess maybe it's coming from your guys' end in Dallas about, you know, making a deal for him, giving up a number one pick and a number three for him or whatever. I mean, I don't want to trade Jamal Adams. I mean, what about that, Michael? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's honestly, Joe, you know, and you know, Jamal and I are very close. We're
right,
very close.
Right.
You know, I've watched him since he was a peewee man, and my son was playing with him at 6, 7, 8 years old, and I was like, hey, don't let that kid hit my son. Don't let that kid right there hit my son. The kid there, he shouldn't be hitting these kids like that. I mean, when he was, I mean, Joe, when this kid was young, he would be coming up and hitting kids at 8 and 9 years old. I remember talking to George. I said, George, man, you gotta slow this kid down. He's gonna hurt himself.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's come up to Mr. Irving. I'm gonna play in the NFL like you do. I'm gonna play in the NFL. I said, yes, you are. The way you hit people, you gotta slow it down. You gotta slow it down, man. He's just the greatest kid in the world. And he and I, we talked. You know, I talked to him yesterday for about an hour about all of the situation. And what it really comes down to is he's done everything right. He's done everything right. And this situation is really getting to him. And it's about a matter of respect, I believe. You know, management, Douglas and all of them, they stepped to Jamal and his people before the Pro Bowl and said they will have an offer soon. They're moving forward with the contract and going to move forward on a contract. They want him to be a Jet for life. You guys remember what happened last year and all the talk about trading him and the Cowboys got involved and everything.
Right, right.
But you know, all that settled, and they said, well, we definitely want you to move ahead. We'll move ahead, and we'll get a contract offer to you within the next couple of weeks. That offer never came after he talked about the Pro Bowl. And from what I understand, Jamal and his people kept trying to call the Jets and trying to find out what's going on. Then they said, well, we're going to wait till after the draft, and we'll look at it then. And then after the draft, they're saying, well, wait till next year. And in Jamal's camp, the frustrating part for them is, wait a minute, well, how do we get from you will get an offer in the next few weeks to we'll look at it possibly doing it next year? So they just feel like there's been a lack of communication there, and I think it has brung about some bad blood and some situations. But let me tell you, Joe, what Jamal wanted, I believe, you know, you look at what Carolina has done with McCaffrey, you know, and they said, hey, you know, you're here, you're our guy, we're going to jump out here and step forward and get it done. And they didn't make him go through all of this, you know, they didn't make him go through all of this. I know people are saying, and Joe, I heard you say, you know, yeah, Jamal has a few more years on his contract. Jamal, in 3 years, have done 2 Pro Bowls and 2 All-Pro years. And I said it before. I said it when we were talking about Ezekiel Elliott. When you jump out like that and you put those kinds of years up, there should have been a kicker in your contract that says, all right, you get to redo your deal because you obviously have outplayed your deal. Jamal's done all of that. This kid has played great on the football field, and this kid has been great off the football field, and he plays hard every day.
He does.
It's just a matter of respect. He wants that respect, and I think he's earned that respect. And it's just unfortunate that it's not working out the way it should be working out in New York. Because I know. I was with him right after the draft. We talked. Remember? Because I remember with San Francisco, they thought he was going to San Francisco, and he went to the Jets. And
right.
The first
play, right.
When he called me, the first thing we talked about, and I told him, I said, man, are you joking? That's the greatest place in the world for you. You know, I said, you'd rather be in New York than in San Francisco. If you turn New York around, the world is yours.
No doubt.
And I told him, I said, look at Michael Strahan and the things he are doing. I said, that should be your future when you turn New York around. And he was so hyped and so ready to be a Jet, and he thought he would be a Jet for life. So it's sad seeing him in this situation.
Well, let's hope he is, man, because I tell you, I will, as you know the kind of Jet fan I am, I will be very ticked off You know, my franchise, and you know this, Michael, their drafting has been a disaster. You know, that's been one of the reasons that they haven't been to a Super Bowl in over half a century now, is the horrific drafting. Now you finally get a guy in the first round with the sixth pick that's the real deal, the real deal, yep. Maybe the best safety in the league right now, and you're going to mess with that? See, that's the kind of stuff. That's why this franchise has been nowhere forever. I mean, that's the way I look at it, Mike.
Yeah, Joe, and that's what I'm saying, Joe. You remember. You remember when it was that Cleveland game when they pulled Jamal and they said he was too hyped.
Yes.
Too hyped.
Yeah.
When we came out, what the hell does that mean? How can you be too hyped?
Right.
There's
right.
no such thing as too
right.
hyped.
Right.
I don't want you to calm down. I want you to lift everybody else and get them up there with you, and let's go win some games. You know, that's lift everybody up. And you know, in talking to him, I sit back and I ponder. I said, now, how do you get from a guy being too in
yeah.
to needing to find out if he is all the way in?
Right.
Because that's what I guess they're saying now. Well, we need to wait and find out if you're all the way in before we do this. It's just that it's kind of confusing. And what it sounds like to me sometimes is I don't think they have agreements themselves in the front office of the Jets. You know, it just seems like mm-hmm. maybe one person says, yeah, we're moving forward, and another person, wait a minute. I just don't know if they have agreement in the front office.
Yeah, well, the management there has been brutal for years. We're talking to the great Michael Irvin. All right, you're very high on C.D. Lamb, right? The Cowboys' number one draft choice?
Yeah, I love the pick. Let me tell you why. And when I did the draft, and when I was studying for the draft, I was trying to find, okay, which if the Cowboys were to go and try to get a receiver, because I talked to them before, they said, yeah, listen, we're going to try to fill the holes that we have on defense. Mm-hmm. But if our number one guy falls to us, in the receiver, then we have to look hard at that. But we're basically going to try to replace the Robert Quinns that we lost on the defensive line, the Byron Jones that we lost in the secondary, and then when they went in, CeeDee Lamb was the number one guy they had on the board, and he fell to them. And let me tell you why CeeDee Lamb works better, even better than the Henry Ruggs would have worked,
Jerry
Judy would have worked, because CeeDee Lamb had – his numbers in the slot, he played about 30% in the slot, 70% outside. He put up numbers outside, and he put up numbers in the slot. He scored 7 touchdowns outside. He scored 7 in the slot also. And the Cowboys, they have very little production from the slot position now that Cobb has gone to Houston. So CeeDee Lamb, with the ability to play in the slot and outside, fit exactly perfectly what the Cowboys need, and he came and he fell. Well, everybody says he fell. Like I told CD, I said, man, listen, trust me. You don't fall to Dallas. You don't fall to the Cowboys. You are placed on the Cowboys
right.
by God himself, and God placed you here. That's why there's a roof in the whole of the Cowboys stadium,
right,
so
right.
God can watch his team, and he wants to watch you. He placed you at 17, and then he placed you with number 88. So he has placed you in position to do great things. Take that placing. That's not a falling, as I told him.
Well, you know what? I will say this though. Before they give him your number, okay? Drew Pearson's number, Des Bryant's number, the great Michael Irvin's number. Can the guy do something? I mean, I hate to be that way, Mike, but that's how I look at it. You know, you got to earn wearing Michael Irvin's number, don't you?
Well, and he has done something. He's done some great things in college.
But that's college, though.
But we have to. We can't wait till you get in the league and play 3 or 4 years and say, now you've earned the number. We have to have. We make. That's how they did it with me. When I got that number from Drew, I was like, woof, woof. When I stepped in, my main thought was, okay, I know what has to be my floor. I know what the 489 passes Drew caught. I think it was 400 something like that. 400 some passes. That
should be in Hall of Fame, by the way. Let me throw that in too.
What's that?
He should be in Hall of Fame, Drew Pearson.
Yeah, and that was sad how it worked out too. This, you know, I know L. Carmichael, God bless him, getting in, but I certainly think Drew Pearson should be in there also.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But Drew's number was my floor. Now, and now I have 750 whatever receptions. That's his floor. His projections are set right there. He has to go and get it, and I believe he can get it. He's just a phenomenal kid, man, and a smart kid. When you talk to him, just a smart kid. He called me also right after the draft, and we talked about the number and everything, and wearing the number and what it means, man. He's just a great kid.
Well, hopefully it'll work out for you with the Cowboys, with C.D. Lamb, talking to the great Michael Irvin. All right, the season, okay? The NFL, really, like you said, free agency they pulled off. They pulled off the draft as only the NFL can. The NFL has benefited from the fact that this all hit right after their season ended. So the timing for the NFL has been, you know, has worked out with this whole brutal virus. Do you think we will see the season kick off in September? Do you think that? What do you think?
I do think we're seeing the season kick off in September, Joe. I think the NFL, as you mentioned, have been blessed on the timing of it.
Yep.
Yeah, I say to that also proves that God is saying, now, well, that football is my favorite sport, people,
right,
too. You know?
Right.
God is.
I understand.
I'm so thankful for him. I prayed last night thanking him for this. Like, please, God, I'm so glad that maybe somehow this is going to miss the football seasons all around. Hopefully, you know, and we get some semblance of life moving forward as we know it with football. So I do believe, and then further, you see the commercials with the young guys that just got drafted telling you, I can't wait. Oh, dream come true. I'm sitting here watching as I'm studying and working. I see the commercial come on. I said, man, the NFL's brilliant. Yeah, I mean, you know, even in the middle of a pandemic, they're putting on all the rookies saying, can't wait, looking forward to it. But all my life been waiting on it. They're letting you see the commercial where the rookies are telling you how excited they are, so you can't be sitting home saying, I don't want to take this away from this kid. He's worked on this all his life. It's just like all the kids that are graduating now, and congratulations to the class of 2020.
Indeed.
But the reality is, this is not something they worked on for the last 8 months or the last year. They worked on this for well over a decade. You had to go 12 years of school just to graduate. This is something. So all of these rookies, they've worked on this all their lives, getting to this point, being able to play in the NFL. So I love that the NFL does that, as it prepares the mind of the public to continue, that we're going to continue to move forward. I do believe we will have football in September. Now, does that mean week one of September? I don't know, but I do believe we will have football in September.
How about playing with no fans in the stands? What do you think about that, Mike? What's your thoughts
there? You know how I'm a huge UFC fan. Huge UFC fan. I told Dana the other day when we were talking on the phone, you know, I said, D, I'm so glad because I made it to the last fight, March 7th. I was at that fight.
Were you?
Sandra fight and Romero fight in Vegas, man. Oh, it was insane. It was insane. I was so happy I was there. And then, you know, we come back following week. I'm supposed to go to L.A. and everything shuts down right after that. So I was happy that I made it, man. And I've been watching UFC without anybody in the stands. And though I love it still, and I'm glad they're doing it, because if you give an option between it without fans and not it at all, then you give me it without fans. But it misses something without fans.
Of course.
Man, it misses some, man. And I know it's going to miss some even more so in football. You know, in UFC, you're out by yourself. There is no way to let down. You let down, you get dead. That's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? In football, there's so many moving parts, man. And the crowd keeps every part so engaged because they're playing for all of those eyes. And you know, it just keeps everybody so hyped and engaged. So hopefully, and what I've understood here, is that they're going, that we can get some fans in some kind of way. You check the fans. You can practice some kind of social distancing, and maybe the stadium's not totally full.
Right, right.
Maybe they're not totally full, but they still have some people in the stadium.
I can see me now at a Jet game with my Jet mask on. You know what I mean?
Everybody, right? They're talking about everybody wearing masks, you know. Listen, anything. Let's just get there and let's get some football and do what we have to do now until we get a vaccine and get this thing under control, but continue to move forward and fight for our way of life.
All right, before I let you go, I got to ask you this, talking to the great Michael Irvin. Let's assume everything goes to Hoyle. We have the season. Everything goes off. Who has a better year this year, Tom Brady in Tampa or Belichick in New England?
That's a great question, man, because, you know, you look at even see, people are just looking at it. Okay, here's Belichick, what he has a quarterback. Tom Brady is a quarterback over there. Look at what he has on at talent. Okay, but Tom Brady still has to get past Drew Brees over in that South, which is going to be a battle. And it's pretty good teams in the NFC, but I do believe they got a good shot at winning. I don't see it, but on the other side, Belichick can win right now, probably even with Sidham, the AFC East. I know Buffalo did pretty well last year.
Right, right.
You know, Miami's coming up. The Jets, we talked about the Jets.
Yeah, right.
Buffalo. New England can still win the East when Tom Brady's going to battle his butt off to win that South with Drew Brees in it. You know, that's a good toss up. That's a good toss up, even though. I love Bill Belichick. I would like to see Tom Brady have a great year just to give him that piece, though. But and I do believe they will have a great year. And let me tell you something else, Joe, too, because I was watching that where they went out to work out the other day. Tom Brady went to work out, and I'm watching. I know Mike Evans showed up, and I was waiting to hear with Godwin. And then I thought to myself, Godwin didn't show up. I don't know, man. Hopefully everything's okay. But you never know. Maybe somebody's in his family sick with the COVID-19 or situation. But if that was me, Tom Brady's first day out here throwing passes, I would have crawled to that workout.
Yeah, right.
I would have missed that workout. Are you joking? This is the first time you putting on buck stuff throwing, buddy. You throw, I go. That's going to be our motto. I would have crawled to that workout to be there. I can't wait to see what happens with that team.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. You know, it's interesting, too, with Belichick, because let's be honest, Mike, if he went 9-7 with Jared Stidham as his quarterback, people would say he did a great job, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say he did a great job. With Jared Stidham, you go 9-7. Are you squeak out winning that division, even though, like I said, the division's not the strongest. And you just lost the greatest quarterback of all time, and you did not draft a quarterback? I'm going to say wow to that also.
Yeah, that would be something. Mike, I appreciate you coming on a Saturday, taking the time. You know I love you. I hope all's well with your family and everything, and you're doing well. And let's hope September comes and we got that regular spot on the show and we're talking football, all right?
Yes, sir, buddy. I am definitely praying for that, man. I'm praying for everyone out here, man. Everyone out there, man. Be safe. Follow the guidelines, and let's all get through this, and happy holidays this weekend.
No doubt about it. Michael, you be well. The great Michael Irvin, always a pleasure talking to him. All right, Joe Beningo with you here for a Saturday morning. You know the phone number, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. A couple minutes early, but let's throw it to Marco Belletti right now. We'll come back. Oh, we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to go to Marco. All right, we'll break now. You got Marco coming up. We'll be back with more of your phone calls.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.